Theophrastus, in his comparison of evil actions, such a comparison as one would make in accordance with the common notions of mankind, says, like a true philosopher, that the offences that are committed through desire are more blamable than those that are committed through anger. For he who is excited by anger seems to turn away from reason with a certain pain and unconscious contraction. But he who offends through desire, being overpowered by pleasure, seems to be in a manner more intemperate and less manly in his offences. Rightly, then, and in a way worthy of philosophy, he said that the offence which is committed with pleasure is more blamable than that which is committed with pain, and on the whole the one is more like a person who has been initially wronged and is compelled to be angry through pain, but the other is moved by his own impulse to do wrong, being carried towards doing something by desire. Since it is possible that you may depart from life this very moment, regulate every act and thought accordingly. But to go away from among men, if there are gods, is not a thing to be afraid of, for the gods will not involve you in evil. But if indeed they do not exist, or if they have no concern about human affairs, what is it to me to live in a universe devoid of gods or devoid of providence? But in truth they do exist, and they do care for human things, and they have put all the means in man's power to enable him not to fall into real evils. And as to the rest, if there was anything evil, they would have provided for this also, that it should be altogether in a man's power not to fall into it. Now that which does not make a man worse, how can it make a man's life worse? But neither through ignorance, nor having the knowledge but not the power to guard against or correct these things, can it be possible that the nature of the universe has overlooked them, nor is it possible that it has made so great a mistake, either through want of power or want of skill, that good and evil should happen indiscriminately to the good and the bad. Certainly, death and life, honour and dishonour, pain and pleasure, all these things equally happen to good men and bad. But they are not things that make us either better or worse. Therefore they are neither good nor evil. How quickly all things disappear, our bodies themselves into the universe, and into time the remembrance of them. What is the nature of all sense objects, and particularly those that enthrall with the bait of pleasure or terrify by pain, or are noised abroad on the empty vapour of fame? How worthless and contemptible and sordid and perishable and dead they are! All this it is the part of the intellectual faculty to observe. And to observe further, who are they whose opinions and voices accord reputation? What is death? And the fact that if a man looks at death in itself, and by the abstractive power of reflection separates out all the things that gather around it in the imagination, he will then consider it to be nothing else than an operation of nature. And if anyone is afraid of an operation of nature, he is a child. And this is not only an operation of nature, but it is also a thing that conduces to nature's purposes. To observe, too, how does man come near to the deity, and by what part of him, and when this part of man is so disposed. Nothing is more wretched than a man who runs circles round everything, and as the poet Pindar says, pries into the things beneath the earth, and seeks by conjecture what is in the minds of his neighbours, without perceiving that it is enough to attend to the guardian spirit within him, and to reverence it sincerely. And reverence of the guardian spirit consists in keeping it pure from passion and thoughtlessness and dissatisfaction with what comes from gods and men. For the things from the gods merit veneration for their excellence, and the things from men should be dear to us by reason of kinship, though sometimes in a way they also move our pity by reason of men's ignorance of good and bad, this defect being not less than that which deprives us of the power of distinguishing black from white.